order, please. Is there anyone that would like to volunteer to give our opening prayer this morning? Any volunteers?
I will.
Dear Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity to come to you today and just ask that you have, would have your hand on the commissioner's court, that they would do your will, that you would continue to bless this county, you would have a hand in the safety of all of our servicemen and women that are serving overseas and all of our first responders that serve here in the United States. Lord, we just ask your blessings in your son's name. Amen.
Amen. If you'd join me in our pledges to our United States and Texas flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to the Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible.
Hey, can I just...
The record reflect that all members of court are present this morning. Commissioners, I would entertain a motion to approve our court agenda.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. Commissioners, we have a number of our judges with us this morning. If it's okay with y'all, I'd like to move them to the first part of the agenda here. I know they've all got courts that they need to get back to. Is there any objection to that?
Nope, that's fine.
Okay. And let's go to... Item 12C on page 6.
Okay.
Good morning, judges.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm finishing 16 years on the bench, and I don't think I've been here but a couple of times, actually. But thank you in advance for all the things that you've done to support my court, the 359th, and all of our courts, because it wouldn't happen without you. So we appreciate that. I'll start by saying that we need a new district court. We knew it was coming little by little. We've been edging that way. We have population growth, and with that population growth, we have an unbelievable explosion in numbers of cases that we have. As one who does all felony cases right now, I can tell you my dockets are packed. My three specialty courts I do on the side are packed. We started with two veterans. We have now 28 going on to 30, and that's a lot of people for that tiny specialty court. In my regular load, I have over 950 cases. The last court we looked at was created 12 years ago, and that would have been yours, the 435th.
18th.
The 418th, but what about the 435th after that?
It was created at the same time but started before mine.
Okay. This is a dual presentation. I'll be Simon. Our annual caseload has risen. Don't expect any song. This presentation would end real quick if we started singing. But anyway, I won't read the slides to you because you can see those. But the main thing is there's been over a 41% increase in our district courts and county courts caseload, and a 32.4% increase in population. And that's the good part about Montgomery County, is that we're growing so beautifully, and the really bad part is that we're growing so beautifully because it's adding a whole lot of stress to all the courtrooms. You know, in the courtroom, we see the best of bad people and the worst of really good people. It all comes out, especially in the family and those sorts of matters. Our caseload by year, see, I think I had our... Yep, that's the next one that I have. There we go. Who's doing that? Are you doing that?
I am.
Oh, okay. Garfunkel.
That's why they broke up.
It was a PowerPoint presentation that ruined the whole thing. Okay, our caseload by year, we went ahead and have shown you there how they've gone up. It's just a reflection of what I just said. We have been knowing that this was probably going to come about, and it really, truly is. But you can see how the cases have increased considerably through the years. This only goes to 2017. On the next slide, we have the population by year, which is that steady increase also making us an attractive county to move to, a busy county. But it also has its reflection in what happens when those populations come our way and on our dockets.
All right, my turn. So
In the state of Texas, we have an Office of Court Administration headed by David Slayton in Austin that crunches all the numbers for all the courts in the entire state. They're the go-to authority that tells every county what you need if you're doing things right. When you look at what our district courts do and the county courts that have concurrent jurisdiction on certain things, such as family law cases, according to the state, we have a need for 14.8 FTEs, which is full-time employee judicial officers, while we currently only have 11.2. So according to them, we're way behind on our need versus what we actually have. And when we break it down here, you can see that we're behind in all areas. For felony, we currently have 4.5 judges giving their full-time attention to felonies. According to the state, we need 5.1. For civil, we're the most behind. We have 1.8. We need 3.6. And in family and CPS, we have 4.9, and we need 5.8.
Judge, what is the 1.8 versus 3.6? What do those numbers mean?
So currently in civil, we're looking at what we currently have. 1.8, we have one judge, Kara Wood, who is full-time civil. So she's 1.0. We have Judge Robin, who hears 50% family, 50% civil. So she's 0.5, because half her time is devoted to family. And then we have Judge Laird, who does probate, mental health, and some civil under 200,000. So about 30% of her time is that's where we came up with the 1.8.
So it's a percentage of judges' times that they
exactly
spend on these cases.
Some of our judges don't devote 100% of their time to one specific field. Okay. So that's where those numbers came for our actual use. The numbers to the right in red came from the state.
Right.
So it's not a judge that's a 0.5.
If 0.5 on felony, for example.
I'm talking about that one.
Yeah. Watson's a half. All right. Okay. This goes to show you here. No, he's here. I'm going to pay for that later. So this shows you here when we compare Montgomery County to the state, just looking at the past year, 17 to 18 on the left, state caseload growth has grown 1%. Montgomery County caseload growth grew 11%. If you look at it over a five-year period, 14 through 18, state caseload growth grew 8%. Montgomery County grew 20%. We are disproportionately growing much faster than the statewide percentages.
Is that mostly because of the population growth, you think, or is it just population growth?
That's probably the primary reason. I can't tell you why. I can just tell you it is. It's happening.
You know, we've got more boots on the ground with the law enforcement officers also, and they are able to work more cases now. So more are being brought to us in the criminal arena as well, and that's probably one of the big reasons is because there's more out there investigating and working those cases. There are time standards that the Supreme Court has adopted, and those dictate that 100% of the civil cases be closed within 18 months. And that means that they've been disposed of the jury cases. 100% of the non-jury should be even less in 1 year. Only 1% of our civil cases right now are jury. So those are the ones that would fall into the 18 months. The majority, the overwhelming majority, should have been closed in 1 year. And right now, at least 20% of those cases are taking longer than a year to be resolved. So we are not obeying the mandates from our Supreme Court of Texas as to those civil cases alone.
So would this court that y'all are requesting be a civil court?
That's the anticipated. There's no doubt. That's where it's anticipated. If the legislature creates a new district court, they don't designate it has to hear this, it has to hear that. They leave that up to the local board of judges to determine what cases it will hear. Without a doubt, our biggest backlog, our biggest area of concern is civil. Right now, if we don't end up with a new court, our fear is, where are we going to take someone from?
Right.
We don't want to end up with other problems that we've had in the past.
Right.
Judge, we've had good success with family courts and with the criminal courts in utilizing associate judges. Why have we not first tried an associate judge in civil or more than one?
Well, quite frankly, because most of the attorneys will object to it and it won't be able to make any progress. So that's the simple foot. It helps.
So we'll never have an associate judge in civil then?
I can't say that it will never happen. I can tell you that there's no doubt we have a need for a full-time district court judge, and the anticipated focus is going to be on civil.
I have talked to some judges who believe that an associate judge in civil would be helpful.
So, I'm not saying it wouldn't be helpful, but that doesn't eliminate the fact that we need another district court, period.
I think we're past that. I think these numbers dictate that we do need this court. I mean, it's...
Well, we've all known it was coming.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been 12 years.
12 years. And if I could, I want to show, because I've heard, you know, the judges don't work. We've compared ourselves to the counties, the two counties that are larger than us and the two counties that are smaller than us. And we have a higher caseload in every area than all those counties, even the larger ones. If you look, we're in the middle of that. Denton and Fort Bend are the bigger ones. That's population. And then Williamson and Cameron are just behind us. Okay? If population's what's drive only thing that's driving caseload, all of these next slides should look like that, okay? But if you look at the number of civil cases that each judge is handling in that county, we're the middle one. Our judges are working harder than all four of those other counties. We have more cases. Family, same thing. Felony, same thing. So we're doing the work. There's just so many cases here that we need another court.
Art, you went pretty quickly through this.
Mm-hmm.
Paul does most of the singing.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And we're talking about something that will take a while, because it'll be about the summer of 2020 before we actually need some things. The good thing about district courts is that you don't pay for that total bulk like you would with a county court at law. The district judge is paid by the state. You are responsible for staff and the stipend that we receive for being on the adult and juvenile probation boards. We already have the courtroom space. The old 410th is still available. It has everything working. I think they've just redone they're getting ready to redo all the IT stuff in there. We'll be up, and it's where we have our meetings, our judge meetings all the time. So we've got all the offices are ready to go. We won't need to build anything. We just need your blessing on a new district court being created here, and then we go to the legislators and go from there. It is a tribute to Montgomery County that we have so many people moving here and that it's so appealing and attractive to them, but it's also something that, as commissioners, I know you take care of this county, and we are bringing to you what we feel are some serious needs, and we're asking you to take care of us again by approving and supporting the creation of a new district court.
You know, commissioners, when I first came into office, I talked to the judges. You know, we had a crowding issue in our jail, and they've done a tremendous job in getting felony cases moved out to relieve the crowding in the jail. So hats off to all the judges for that effort. What I hate to see happen is civil cases take, you know, a burden or place a burden on those felony cases and us be back in the same situation we were in the jail again. So I think this court's probably a great idea. And again, it may be 2020 before it's even there, but if we don't do something in this legislative session, or get the legislature, or at least ask the legislature to do something in this session, we're 2 years from even asking again.
And we're hoping, that's what we're hoping for. We want to go talk to our local legislators and others as a united front to show that all of our judges are on board, our commissioners are on board, and hopefully that they'll work with us. This isn't going to affect the current fiscal year at all. It maybe will affect the last quarter of the next fiscal year.
I think the key is do it now instead of wait till 2022. I think that's the key.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So you're asking this court for a resolution in support that you can take to the legislature?
We are.
And make that report.
Do we have one here to sign?
Huh? Do we have one?
I move.
Second.
Any other questions or comments, commissioners?
Good presentation. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank
you
all for everything you do.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Opposed.
One opposed. Motion carries 4-1.
Thank you.
Thank you, judges.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, going back to our agenda, item 7A, presentation of our Employee of the Month. Thank you, Judge. Y'all have a good Thanksgiving.
Good morning, Judge and Commissioners. We are presenting November's Employee of the Month. So if I could have Darren Hess come up here.
Morning, Judge, Commissioners.
Morning.
At this time, I'd like for Miranda Haas to join me at the podium.
Yay.
Miranda Haas has worked for the Office of Homeland Security and Emergency Management for about the last 8 years now. She came to us from Montgomery County Youth Services. During this time, she has learned rapidly, excelled at assignments, and moved from her entry-level role to her current position as senior planner. Miranda is kind, caring, and charismatic, and is always willing to lend a hand both inside the office and outside to outside agencies. She ensures that her job is done in a timely, professional manner and has become a familiar face to outside agencies on all levels, not just the local levels, but state and federal as well. She's become a strong leader, oftentimes excelling in her assignments, her work in training county staff in active shooter incidents, to organizing and writing the first ever countywide special threat incident response plan are just two examples of the exemplary work she has done and the sacrifices she has made for this county. Please join our office in recognizing Miranda Haas for her constant hard work, her dedication to this court, her fellow employees, and most importantly, to our citizens.
Tell you what, in working with Miranda during Hurricane Harvey, we know who does all the work in emergency management.
Uh-huh.
Miranda, you want to tell us who you have with you today?
Yes, I have my husband, Paul
Hodge,
and our little boy.
All right. Congratulations.
If you need a busload of water, she can get it to you.
That's right. That's a fact. Okay. Under County Clerk, consider and approve the August 2014 Commissioner's Court minutes as follows. Some changes, corrections, as presented under item 8A.
Move.
Second.
Any questions or comments on that? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Okay. Item 9 under our consent agenda, commissioners, I would entertain a motion to approve our consent agenda unless there's items that someone would like to bring forward.
Move.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. All right. Under item 11, consider approve and authorize myself to execute the 2018 home grant agreement between Montgomery County and the following nonprofit agency, Easter Seals of Greater Houston. That's something Dr. Ducharme has presented. Do you want to make a presentation, Dr. Ducharme, at all? Good morning.
You took me off guard. I thought we were going to do citizens' comments first.
Well, we do them on agenda items as they show up on the agenda.
Okay. This is the home grant for Easter Seals, which does down payment assistance for low-income first-time home buyers. It's been an incredibly successful program in Montgomery County. In the 15 years that we've been operating this program, we've had one foreclosure, and that was in the middle of the recession. We've had two resales that were very successful. We give money to Easter Seals about once every 3 years in a large lump of sum, and then we don't refund them until they run out of funds. That way we can handle a recession when things slow down or a boom when things speed up. So this contract is for $280,000, which should last them at least a couple of years.
And while it says Easter Seals of Greater Houston, all these projects are within Montgomery
County. Strictly Montgomery County and predominantly in Precinct 3.
Okay.
Move.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Thank you.
Motion carries. Thank you. Okay. Item 12A. Nate, good morning.
Morning, Judge. Good morning, Commissioners.
Morning. Morning.
Judge Laird has asked, and this was approved by the Board of Judges at their November meeting, that Judge D'Amico, the current criminal law associate judge, be appointed as a part-time associate judge for mental health, and that involves coming to Commissioner's Court for that approval as well.
Okay.
So I'm asking that you approve him.
You know how much time that'll take for...
Judge Laird has said that it will only be when she's unavailable, sick, or on vacation.
I just know he's a big asset to the whole court system.
He's incredibly busy.
Yeah. I just want to make sure he's compensated appropriately.
All the judges
may.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Move.
Second.
Any other questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
And then in item B, in October, the Board of Judges approved a change to our interpreter fee schedule. Just to give a brief overview, interpreters are supposed to be appointed in every civil, family, and criminal case that needs them. There used to be a tendency to think we only do that with criminal cases because their liberties are at peril. The legislature certified in statute that they're supposed to be appointed in all those cases. The last increase for Spanish interpreter fees was approved by commissioners July 25th, 2011. I discussed this during the budget workshop that we'd be coming back to you, that there were discussions amongst the judges about increasing their fees. The fact is that Montgomery County is in competition with surrounding counties when it comes to interpreters. You would think that we'd be in competition with Harris County, but we're really not so much with Harris County, but with the smaller counties around us that are paying a whole lot more. This last Friday, in fact, we had two interpreters scheduled, one from Harris County, one local. The one from Harris County had car trouble, and so what we typically do is we'd go to one of our seven or eight other backup interpreters, and none of them were available. So we had one interpreter handling jail docket last Friday, CPS docket, as well as our a family case, in addition to the criminal cases that we're supposed to handle every day. So the fact of the matter is that these interpreters are scheduling other counties ahead of ours because we're not paying what they're paying.
I thought we had talked about hiring an interpreter at budget time.
So in next fiscal year, we're talking about hiring a full-time interpreter.
Okay.
We'll address that at the next budget. But yes, and this might be a good jump start to that.
Yeah.
But the change in fees is proposed moving up from 150 half day to 175 half day, from 300 full day to 350 full day, and Montgomery County has a trial rate that's moved up from 320 per day to 375 per day.
Can you go back to the previous slide?
Sure.
If we're competing against entities that are paying 600 and 500 and 450 and 450, how is going to 350 going to make that big of a difference? Why would you not ask for something more in line with what you're saying the competition is?
I think that that these need to be kind of gradual steps. I don't think that we could that the budget that's there right now, because that was a consideration as well as how much we have currently budgeted, is not enough to countenance a raise as big as those other counties.
Don't get me wrong, I'm not in favor of it
anyway, but
I'm just thinking that, I mean, if your point is we're having trouble scheduling somebody, I would think that, you know, I don't know if 50 bucks would lure me anymore.
Well, I mean, those interpreters are, those interpreters that are working in other counties, they live here. They live in Conroe, they live in Montgomery. So for them, having that little extra and not having to drive as far would probably be better for
Might
them
help.
Well.
In thinking about hiring someone, if you have multiple courts that need interpreters, having someone here as a full-time employee, would that really be effective, or would it be more effective to stay with?
I think it could be effective to have a full-time person and then have any overflow handled by the contract work that we're doing right now. I think it could be beneficial. Those are the increases. And then I wanted to address the budget. This last fiscal year, we actually spent less on interpreters. I think the civil and family judges are charging costs of interpreters to parties more, which they have the ability to do. So I anticipate that we should have the budget this year to cover this smaller increase in that. The interpreters, when they came to us, they also asked for some other things that would be major cost factors, which none of these were considered by the board. I just wanted to throw this out there to y'all. They wanted a 24-hour cancellation notice, which means that if a case cancels or settles Friday, let's say Friday at 9 o'clock, they would still get paid a full day, even though they weren't here if they didn't do anything. They want dual interpreters in all trials. which we don't do that right now. We just do that in district court felony criminal cases, jury cases, which tend to last longer. And they also wanted creation of a space so that they could leave equipment and have lunch and everything. So all of these were not considered by the board, and the only thing they wanted to consider was this small increase, seeing as how it's been 7 years since the last time. Any questions?
I move.
Is there a second? Motion to second. Any questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed?
Opposed.
Motion carries 4-1.
Thank you.
Thank you, Nate.
Thank you, Nate.
Appreciate it.
Okay. Item 13, Ms. Harvey.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
Please consider and approve the order to canvass the returns and declare the results of the November 6, 2018 general election.
Move. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Ms. Harvey, do you have, it seems like every election cycle we get more and more people trying to vote, and there's always something that keeps Montgomery County from getting our results posted as quickly as other people. Do you have all of the tools, the resources you need, the personnel, the staffing? Is our technology where it needs to be? I mean, are we missing something, or do we just get so inundated that it's just
well, the hard the delay for this election was the
people still in line.
We couldn't post early voting results until all the polls closed on election day,
Commissioner,
and we had one
not on the agenda.
Oh, well, it's kind of about the
we can't ask questions like that.
Can't take
action. Well, let's come back and talk about it later, but just know that I want to talk about it. How's
yes,
that?
Sir. Okay.
Thanks, Amy.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, why couldn't we just ask
about,
a question related
about the election?
I can't hear what you're saying, Amy.
Okay.
She's just saying we couldn't ask her if she wanted something and then give it to her or something like that.
Well, my concern is that it seems like we have an issue in getting our returns posted as quickly when we have larger counties to get them posted more quickly, and we're not. I want to know why. And that's
I think it's
directly
mail-in ballots.
Well, in this case, there are people still in line. The polls were still open.
Yeah,
they couldn't.
Several things,
couldn't,
but
couldn't.
I think the mail-in ballots really play into that.
Might need more machines in more places. Let's talk about this before the next election.
Would you like me to bring a
yes,
agenda item back
yeah, yeah.
to you properly
something
noticed
that,
so that we can talk about it?
Something that pleases the county attorney.
Happy to do it.
Do you have a workshop, James?
In January, Judge?
Yeah.
Good time with me. Works for me. Okay. Purchasing.
Morning, Gilbert.
Good morning.
Morning.
We have two items today. First is to approve a contract for engineering services for Old Houston Road with Holdsworth Company, not to exceed $357,400. This is a Precinct 4 project.
Move.
Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
And the second is an engineering services agreement for Sorters Road. Again, with Holdsworth Company, the maximum sum of $589,400, Precinct 4 project.
Move.
Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you, Gilbert.
Yeah, excuse me.
Grants.
Good morning, Judge and Commissioners.
Morning.
On item A, consider and ratify the firearms training grant application to NRA in the amount of $11,257 for Constable Precinct 4's office, as submitted by Sergeant McHugh on behalf of Montgomery County. No match required.
Move.
Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries.
Consider and approve the IDM grant to TxDOT for the Sheriff's Office in the amount of $9,985.78 with a match of $2,623.89 from the Sheriff's Office budget. Please authorize Sergeant Hoffman, and may I include myself on that in case he's out of town this week, to submit electronically on behalf of Montgomery County.
Move.
Second.
Questions or comments, Commissioners? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Ansley.
Thank you.
Okay, BD.
Good morning, Judge and Commissioner.
Good morning.
Item 16A, consider and approve a resolution order approving stipulation and agreement and authorizing funding of an agreement for parcel 82 of FM 1097. The amount that we stipulated, the hearing was actually held yesterday. This was put on to be able to fund it timely. It was a $7,397 acquisition.
Move. Second.
Second. Any questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you, BD. Okay, citizens' comments. We have two people signed up to comment on items that were not on today's agenda. First, our district attorney, Mr. Lake.
Just get this one on purpose.
No.
Check.
Thanks.
Morning, Judge, Commissioners. One of the things that I wanted to discuss, and I was in favor for the creation of a district court, although I was not asked. We have seen an increase in our numbers. Commissioner Nowak and a few other commissioners I have discussed. You can see the increase in the criminal numbers. Anything that will help the civil judges not take away criminal judges to do some civil work is a great thing. As Judge Doyle talked about, what we've done with the jail, we're still about 93% felons, about 7% misdemeanors. We're in great shape. We're housing the people in the jail that you want to house. The district court judges, when they've specialized, have done a great job in turning the cases over as far as getting good docket control, and we'd like to see the same thing happen on the civil side. There was a conversation where perhaps they would start sharing maybe Judge Hamilton from the criminal side and do more civil. So anything that would stop that, I'm all in favor for. Secondly, what I wanted to talk about was there's been some high-profile homicides that have been committed within Montgomery County, and it kind of brings me back to the thing that we talk about within my circle, but perhaps the general public is not aware of, so I thought this is a great opportunity to talk about it right here before the holidays. Historically, we've averaged about 30 murders a year. Our bellwether year, for some reason, was in around 1996. I don't know why. It was a much smaller population, but we don't have many more murders now than we did in the mid-90s. But we have more homicides. Now, why would you have a homicide and not have a murder? Because you have murder-suicides. And so Dr. Panieri and I have gotten together and looking at those that are tied into domestic violence. And so here's the sobering fact that I wanted to bring to the court's attention and as a way of getting out to the general public. So we're going to do about 30 murders a year, and we filed about 30 murders a year. We're going to have closer to 50 homicides a year. But of those 30 murders, two-thirds of those are domestic violence. Now, I know we just got through with Domestic Violence Awareness Month, but two-thirds of our murders in Montgomery County historically, and including this year, have been domestic violence-related. 100% of those have had drugs or alcohol involved. So either the victim is intoxicated or has alcohol in their system, or likely the defendant does. Here's another fact that is just galling to me. 100% of those victims have been women. And so we have our murders in Montgomery County. There is one of the things that I wrestle with back and forth is, if you can predict it, can you prevent it? And so I can tell you that coming into Thanksgiving, people increase their alcohol intake, deal with the stress, they deal with the holidays, moving into Christmas, you have family situations. And so this is just my way of a little bit of a PSA of trying to get people's attention to this. You know, put down the eggnog, go to church, go take a long walk, do something. You know, if it's the family relationships that are driving the vast majority of the murders that we have in Montgomery County, there are some steps that you can take. The Montgomery County Women's Center is a great facility, particularly when you're dealing with the vast majority of our victims being female. We're looking into some tools that we can perhaps help patrol officers with, and identifying who is more likely to offend at the murder rate. Lethality assessment is something that we're trying to get law enforcement on board with. Looking at particularly those men who strangle, almost inevitably are the ones who kill. And it's a direct correlation between those defendants who strangle a spouse or a loved one, and there's a direct tie-in to officer-involved shootings. And so the vast majority of people that have been involved in officer-involved shootings, when you look back, have a huge history in domestic violence, particularly strangulation. So there's things that we can predict, but I don't know if we can prevent them. Certainly, I'd ask that the court, you know, when you're out there in public and you have an opportunity, really just coming forward to try to bring some light to this right before the holidays. It is a sad fact. If we could cut our domestic violence murder rate down, then we're cutting our overall homicide rate. Montgomery County, as you know, is a very, very, very safe county. It's about 5 homicides per 100,000. Almost all of our murders are people that they know. So I want to thank you for your time, Judge, and I appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Any questions?
Appreciate all you do.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank
you. Mr. Yalick.
Thanks. My name is Eric Yalick. I'm from Precinct 3. Today's golden hammer goes to the entire Commissioner's Court, as well as County Engineer Mark Mooney. For item 14, which was passed unanimously without any discussion, oversight, management, and particularly no oversight or management of the County Engineer's Office. Y'all just passed a $920,000 set of 2 contracts for the purpose of management of design consultants, surveying and mapping, provide construction management and inspection services, and provide other related services as needed for Old Houston Road and Sorters Road in Precinct 4. The problem with that is that those precise services are exactly what we elect a county commissioner to do. And a county commissioner has a large staff. Commissioner Clark has an outstanding staff in Precinct 4. My understanding is that Judge Metz, when he becomes the county commissioner, is going to have Jim Fredericks, Phyllis Martin, Diane Rogers, Greg Long, and others on his staff. All of those people could be providing those services to the people of this county and save us that $920,000. And the reality is that if you look at the amount of money that is being paid on each of these 2 contracts and compare it to what the cost is within the county engineer's office, we are overpaying on the Old Houston contract by $265,000. I'm sorry, that's the Sorters contract. And on the Old Houston contract, $158,000. And that includes benefits. It's time for the Commissioner's Court to assume your management and oversight function, to look at every single one of these engineering contracts. The citizens of this county are losing a fortune in what we are paying under these engineering contracts, and I hope that this Commissioner's Court, beginning in on January 1st, will bring that to a swift end. Thank you.
Is there anyone that would like to address the court that did not sign up to speak today? All right. With that, Commissioners, I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
Move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
We are adjourned, and I want to wish everyone a happy Thanksgiving.
Nope. You can't speak after we adjourn.